I am excited at what you're going to share with us this morning, Vicky, but I want to pray for you before you do. Yeah, Father, I want to thank you for this lady and your work in her, Lord Jesus. And today we just say, bless her, Lord. Fill her with your spirit, Father. Let her enjoy herself before us. And give us ears, Lord God, to hear what your spirit would say to us through her, that we might learn from her of the treasure you put within her, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Okay, who wants to get some fresh revelation from God this morning? I do. And so what I just want us to do is, if you're able to, do you want to just stand and let's just pray for ourselves and pray for the people next to us. You might want to put your hands on the person next to you if they're comfortable with that. And let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come and give us fresh revelation that's going to change everything for us forever. Yeah, Lord, I thank you that you are excited to be with us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you've got good things for every single person in this room. And we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and bring fresh revelation to each one of us in this place that's going to change the way we think and change the way we live. That's going to see your glory come in our communities and your name lifted up. So, Lord, we're looking to you for those breakthrough revelations today. Amen. I'm excited, as hopefully you can tell, because I know that God wants to do awesome things among us this morning. Things that don't just make us feel good for why we're here, which is great, but something that's going to last and produce fruit in our lives. And so, you know, I'm going to share with you some stuff that from my own revelation that God's been giving to me as I've been asking him, what does it mean to live like heaven is near? But, you know, I'm just trying to flow with the Spirit and see what God is wanting to do as well. As heaven is here right now and heaven is breaking out. And I just believe that people are going to get healed as we sit here. People are going to get set free from things that maybe bound us for years. So I'm expectant for good things to happen. So who saw my Facebook post? Those of you who are on Facebook, some of you saw it, about the whole thing about joining me in an experiment to live like heaven is near. It was on the weekly email as well. And as many of you will know, when we were together back in December or November, I can't remember which month it was, as a whole church, Colin shared with us the three aims of community that we want to go for in all of our congregations across River. And does anyone know what they are? Yep. So, what are they? Gaze on the face of Christ. Look. See, I don't even know them. Look on the face of Christ. Love everyone you meet and live like heaven is near. Good things. And so this morning we're going to focus on what does it mean to live like heaven is near. And so I just want to take us back to just imagine that you're a first century Jew. Okay? And you are expecting, anticipating, waiting for this Messiah that's going to come. And you expect this Messiah to be a military leader, someone in a revolution, who's going to lead Israel into battle to free them from their enemies. So you're looking for that. You're looking for that Messiah. You're looking for this person who's going to come and set you free. And to you, it probably looks like a military operation. And into that kind of environment, as Jesus comes, firstly, to the Jews, he, as he begins his ministry, he has a key message. And if you just want to go with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that's in the New American Standard Bible, it says that. If you looked in the NIV, those of you got an NIV, it says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And for those of you who've seen a new translation that's just come out in the last year, which I really love, it's called The New Testament for Everyone. It's by Tom Wright. And there it says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has arrived." I quite like that. The kingdom of heaven has arrived. So this was the key message of Jesus. And just want us to look at some other verses before we explore this in greater detail. If you just go with me to Matthew 6, verse 10. Matthew 6, verse 10. And so this is when Jesus' disciples, his friends who were following him at that time, they say, you know, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." And as part of that prayer, he says that they should pray, "Your kingdom come." So this is to their heavenly Father. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then if you want to just go with me to Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. So this is when Jesus is sending out his 12 disciples on their first mission. And as part of what he's telling them to do, he says, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." So there's some key verses for us this morning. We see at the beginning of Matthew that Matthew is telling us that from the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the key thing he's preaching is repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then, you know, Jesus tells us when we pray that we will be praying that God's kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. And then Jesus is telling his disciples, and therefore he's telling us as followers of Jesus, that we should go and preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven has arrived. Heal the sick, raise the dead. You know, just the normal thing of the Christian life that we are called to. And so what does it mean? What does it mean? And, you know, this is something that I have been grappling with, particularly over this last month, of looking for that revelation about what that means. Because, you know, sometimes we can know things in our head. Maybe we could even talk to other people about them, things that we've heard. But then there's a difference that comes when we get our own personal revelation from the Holy Spirit, when something that we kind of knew in our heads, now we really know it. We've got that revelation. And so, you know, I've been thinking, you know, what does it mean to live like heaven is near? You know, I can imagine the kind of things that might happen. People get healed. People get raised from the dead. Those are the obvious things. But, you know, people's lives are changed. Fresh hope comes. Our communities are impacted. We start new initiatives. You know, I can imagine different things that might happen when heaven breaks out. But how do I live like it? And so, you know, I've been thinking, oh, I'm preaching on this in January. I'm not even sure I really know what it means. You know, if I was completely honest, I thought, what is it? There's some key that I'm missing. I'm just telling my journey with it. And yesterday, I spent the whole day just hanging out with God. And it just came to me so simply. And it was something that I already knew, but somehow I suddenly got it. If I'm going to live like heaven is near, it simply is changing the way that I think. You know, that might sound like too simple, but actually, that is the key, changing the way that we think. And, you know, when Jesus, when it's talking in that passage from Matthew about how Jesus' message telling people that the kingdom of heaven was near, it starts off with repent. And you know, that word repent is, in that word, it contains that essence of to look at things differently, to take another look, to see things with a new perspective. And so, you know, as I'm standing here today, I feel challenged myself by the Holy Spirit. And I know the Holy Spirit is wanting to challenge us as a church to change the way we think, to begin to view things from a different perspective, from the perspective that heaven is near. Heaven has arrived. And what does it mean when I'm at work, What does it mean when I'm at school or university or wherever I am? What does it mean that heaven has arrived? And what does it mean for me to live from that place? Because, you know, just as I'm spending time with God, you know, I just get that such that sense that Jesus on the cross, he paid the ultimate price. He gave everything because he knew that what he would accomplish on the cross was that the Spirit of God would come to live inside of each one of us who choose to believe in him, that as his Spirit is living in us, the kingdom of God can break out from us wherever we are. That, you know, I can't really explain it enough to you. I'm just trying to speak to your spirits. But just this sense that we owe it to God to live like heaven is near. We owe it to him because Jesus paid such a great price. And if we would only change the way that we think, have our minds renewed by that perspective, then things around us are going to change. Our communities are going to be impacted. And great darkness, places of great darkness, light is going to come and bring fresh hope. So that simply said, that's basically all I have to say. But I'm going to say more. So how are we going to change the way we think? You know, quite the most simple thing that we can do is to read the Gospels. What happened when Jesus was around? People got healed, lepers got cleansed, people were valued, people found freedom from sin and its consequences, people were forgiven, peace was released. Peace is such a key thing that our world needs. Crazy miracles happened so that people could see something of what God was like. The dead were raised, there were provisions of needs, food. There was teaching that made sense and set people free. People found new purpose for their lives. Promises got fulfilled. There was love, joy, peace, relationships, family. You know, Jesus came to undo the works of the devil. That's the kind of thing that happened around Jesus. And that's the kind of thing that can happen around each one of us. Is anyone excited about that? Woo! I'm excited about it. It's great. You know, so that is our starting point, is looking at the Gospels. And I just want to encourage us that as we read through the Gospels, to allow the Holy Spirit to let us dream with him about how that outworks in my day-to-day life. What does that mean for me? What is the part that the Holy Spirit is wanting me to partner with him in to see heaven breaking out? And, you know, I just believe that we're going to see a lot more of the power of God coming in this season. We're going to see a lot more people healed, more salvation, deliverance, maybe some dead raising. I'm up for a bit of that. But also feel that God is wanting to release wisdom to us to bring social transformation. You know, there's a heavenly wisdom that he's wanting to release. I feel like for some people it's about education. You know, we have such an opportunity at the moment in our country where, with different things that going on with the government, allowing groups of parents or different people to do free schools and things like that. And for some of us, maybe it's something about education, whether it's starting a school, I don't know, or whether we're already in the world of education. But there's a wisdom that is being released for those kind of new initiatives that are going to bring social transformation. Because we know that our country is in a desperate place at the moment. And it's time for the church to rise up and know who we are as sons and daughters of God. Know that heaven is near and walk in the confidence and the authority of that to actually go into those situations and see transformation. And so, you know, we could look at our country and see that it's desperate. We could feel depressed when we look at the situation. But actually, as a church, we should see it as a great moment of opportunity where God is saying, come on, church, rise up, be who you were created to be, and go with boldness and courage. You might be scared, but just do it anyway, knowing who your God is and knowing that heaven has arrived. So just go with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And I'm going to read it from the New Testament for Everyone version that I was mentioning earlier, because I like it. It says, "What's more, don't let yourselves be squeezed into the shape dictated by the present age. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you can work out what God's will is, what is good, acceptable, and complete." So in this whole thing of changing the way we think, this is a great verse for us, that we don't want to look at things from an earthly perspective. We don't want to be squeezed into what the world is saying about things, but we want to operate with a renewed mind that's looking at things through a heavenly perspective. So we look at a situation that we find in front of us, and it's completely without hope. And then we begin to see it through heaven's eyes. There's never a hopeless situation through heaven's eyes. There is unlimited wisdom available to come in and transform that life situation. There are unlimited resources in heaven to change that situation. This is the kind of renewed mindset that the Holy Spirit is inviting us into. And, you know, for some of us this morning, you know, we've been through really, really terrible circumstances that have happened. Maybe we were like all up for this kind of thing, and then life circumstances have come and it's been devastating for us. And I just want to say, if you find yourself in that position this morning, that the Holy Spirit wants to bring healing into those places. You know, in Proverbs it says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." You know, for some of us, at the beginning of this year, God is wanting to come and bring healing where hope deferred has made our hearts sick. But he's also wanting to bring fresh hope. He's wanting to break us out of that pain and that disappointment and cause us to hope again, so that we can have a renewed mind, a mind that's walking in belief and faith afresh, despite circumstances that may have happened to us, which would kind of tell us that that couldn't be possible or that wasn't true. But I just feel that God is wanting to come in and turn that kind of situation around with fresh hope and with a renewed mind, that he's inviting us to leave behind unbelief and walk in faith that will believe. And just want to share a little story with you. I have permission to share this from my sister. Lots of you will know that in 2006, when the first ever trip to Bethel church, that a bunch of the guys had a car accident, and that my sister was really seriously injured in that car accident. And over the last 5 or so years, you know, that's been a difficult journey for her. Along that way, God has broken in with different healings that have taken her beyond what was thought possible, maybe, or made things happen quicker. But she still is not 100% healed, and she has to learn to deal with pain on a daily basis. And as many of you know, she's recently had a baby, which also the pregnancy and stuff has added to that pain, and she's still kind of recovering from that. And so, you know, from in the world's perspective, it's kind of like, how do you deal with pain? You know, that's the way that it would be approached with her, and that's a positive thing. But as we enter into 2012, even though we might say, well, 5 years has gone, she's still not completely healed, surely she should give up, but I feel fresh faith myself for her situation, that I want to go after her 100% healing. And so, you know, every day, or most days, maybe not every day, I've been like just declaring over her, she is healed, you know, speaking peace to her body and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, we're still waiting for that miracle. And maybe others of you are in those similar kind of situations where circumstances of life, you've been prayed for a million times, you've prayed yourself, and it hasn't changed. And, you know, it's kind of really kind of crippling in a way. But I just want to say that we can't let those circumstances stop us from going for this thing of living like heaven is near. You know, Abraham, in hope against hope, as we read in Romans, he still believed that God would give him that son and make him the father of many nations, even though there was a huge amount of time between when God gave him that promise and the promise was fulfilled, and it just like it was never possible that it was ever going to happen. But Abraham chose to remain in hope and to walk in faith. And so God is inviting us to be a church that will determine to stand on his word that says heaven has arrived, to live from that place. And even when things don't change right now, sometimes maybe they won't, we're not going to stop. We're going to keep on believing until the end, because the story's not over yet. The Bible's full of stories of people who have to wait a long time before they see the promise fulfilled. You know, so I don't know why that happens, but it does sometimes. And so I just want to encourage us to be a church that will stand on the word of God, live the way that we're invited to there. And whilst we want to be real about the pain of situations and be there and love each other through it, but let's not waver. Let's continue to walk in belief. Let's go to Ephesians 2, verse 6. Ephesians is probably my favourite book in the Bible. I love it. And, you know, it talks all about, I love Ephesians 1, it talks about who we are in Christ and that we'd have revelation to understand the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of us. I just love that. And here in chapter 2, verse 6, it's talking about us, people who've said yes to follow Jesus, and anyone can say yes to Jesus, so this is available for everyone. It says, we are seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, you know, in Ephesians, it's talking about how Jesus' victory through his death and resurrection, that he was seated at the right hand of God. He was seated in heavenly places. And we, as sons and daughters of God, are co-heirs with Christ. And we are seated with him in heavenly places. And this verse is really important for us when we're thinking about the whole thing of changing the way that we think. Because we need to imagine ourselves seated in heavenly places, looking down to earth from heaven, not being seated on the earth looking up to heaven. But we start out from that place of heaven down to earth. You know, if we're looking from the earth up to heaven, then, you know, how I imagine it in my mind is in my perspective, I'm striving, you know, maybe up into the sky for this thing of heaven and just wishing it would come down. And I'm just seeing everything from an earthly perspective, just, you know, desperate in that kind of way. But then when I'm up there in the heavenly places and I'm looking down on the earth and I'm aware of what Jesus did on the cross and what heaven is, then, you know, that's when faith rises and you begin to see life circumstances with a totally different perspective. Begin to see the authority you have to make declarations and see things changed. And so I want to encourage you and I want to encourage myself to try day by day to kind of consciously visualize seated in heavenly places that I'm viewing the earth from that position. Does that make sense? We're viewing the earth from heaven. I'm not looking at the terrible circumstances that are going on around me. I'm looking from heaven and how heaven can break out into that situation. I'm looking with the eyes of faith. You know, in Romans, it talks about how God calls things as that were not as though they were. And we need to do that as well. We need to be that kind of prophetic people that maybe we, that in the physical we see dry bones, but we speak live beings into it. That we need to prophesy life where there is death. And you know, as we start to really get the revelation of this kind of thing and to believe it and to walk in it on a day to day and work out what does it mean for my day to day life, then we are going to see things change. We're going to see Maidenhead change. We're going to see Marlow change. We're going to see Slough change. We're going to see Enkerfield Green change. We will see it. There's no other alternative because heaven is, well, so awesome and it's arrived and the Spirit of God is inside of us and we have that authority to bring it. It's all good. Okay, so I just want to say some quickly practical things in the day-to-day of life about how we can change the way that we think in our day-to-day of our lives. Firstly, repent of unbelief and believing lies. You know, sometimes we might not realise that we're actually in unbelief in a situation because we've just got so used to it. We can just come to the Holy Spirit and just show, what areas of unbelief are in my heart? What lies am I believing about situations around me and about myself? And just let's repent of those. Then let's embrace the truth. Ask the Holy Spirit to show us his truth into those situations. Scripture. You know, Scripture is full of wonderful things. Let's meditate on it. Let's, get it into our hearts on a day-by-day basis. You know, write Scriptures out. Read them over yourself every day. Get it deep in. Prophecy. You know, remember the things that God has said to you and God has said to others. You know, I encourage everybody to keep a personal record of your own personal prophecies so that you can keep on reading them, reminding yourselves and feeding yourselves on the Word of God. You know, in Ephesians, when it talks about the armor of God, it talks about the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And that with Scripture and the prophetic Word of God, you know, that's like our sword in the battle that we find ourselves in. So I encourage you to use that Word that God has given us. Worship, soak in his presence. You know, when you're in that place, a new perspective comes, doesn't it? When we're worshiping God, focusing on him, just soaking with him. Actively renew our minds and make agreements with heaven. You know, I just love, it's something so powerful that comes when you almost speak out an agreement with heaven. Say, yes, I believe that God can heal and will heal, you know, whatever it may be. Let's proactively renew our minds. And when thoughts come that are not agreeing with heaven, let's be proactive in taking captive of those thoughts and telling ourselves to think in a different way. Dream with God. I love dreaming with God. Just let God invade our imaginations and imagine what could happen. Just in that place, you can just go wild. Make declarations. The central team and congregation leaders and deputies, we just started this leadership course that Bethel Church over in California run, and it's really great. And one of the things that we've been learning about this month is the whole thing about making declarations. And we've got like this whole load of declarations that we've been encouraged to speak them over our lives for the next 40 days, I think it is. And you know, I'm finding such faith is growing in me as I'm just reading those over myself and just getting that. It's just, they're all from Scripture, just soaking that stuff in and changing my belief system. Know your authority. We are not weak. We might be weak without God. We are not weak with God. We are very, very powerful because the Spirit of God lives in us to bring good, to change situations. Celebrate what God has done for you and others, both now and in the past, and what he has said he will do. We need to feed on it. You know, we can so easily feed on what hasn't happened and what God isn't doing, and that can bring real depression to us. You know, but it's a constant thing of telling ourselves, no, I'm going to remember the good things that God has done. And it's not like, you know, we all have bad days. You know, I've had bad days this week. But then you have to tell yourself again, no, I'm going to celebrate the good things that God has done and the things that God has said he will do. And I'm going to feed myself on that. Obedience. You know, I want to encourage us to walk in obedience. You know, it says in Scripture, obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, when God tells us to do something, let's do it because it's going to bring incredible things. Friendship and community. We can't do this by ourselves. We need to encourage each other. You know, one time one of us is feeling down, the other can say, no, it's okay. Let's pray. Let's worship. Let's stir each other up. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had an amazing time as a Journey leadership team where we just spent the whole time worshipping and praying for each other. And then we found out that a load of people in the room were feeling really rubbish, but we hadn't really told each other. And then when we told each other, we were just able to like encourage and pray for each other. And it just was so great afterwards. We all felt much better. So we need each other. persevere. If it doesn't happen tomorrow, don't give up. If it doesn't happen in 10 years, don't give up. You know, let's be in it for the long haul. And let's walk hand in hand in friendship with God and go on adventure with him. That's the best thing about all of this, is it friendship with God. We walk hand in hand with him and we do it with him together. So the key message of Jesus is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near. And I forgot to say at the beginning, I just want to quickly say that in other Gospels we see kingdom of God, and in Matthew he uses the term kingdom of heaven, and heaven was used as a word as a kind of instead of God. So because the Jews wanted to give God that kind of respect, and so they would use heaven instead. So when we think about the kingdom of heaven, we imagine what would it be like if God came in his complete rule of a realm. That might be a helpful way for us to understand that. So, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the key message for us as a church at this time, is that we need to change the way we think. We need to choose to walk in belief, soak ourselves in what does it mean in our day-to-day lives if heaven has arrived, and how can we bring it? Because as we do that, things are going to change. And so I just want us to spend some time just seeing some of heaven break out. I'm sure it's already happening. But there are a few things that I've written down that I just feel are specific things that God is wanting to bring breakthrough in this morning. And I'm just going to speak them out. And if it applies to you, if you want to stand up, and we're going to pray for you. I felt the whole thing of financial breakthrough. For some of us, maybe we've got debt that is really crippling us. And I feel that God is wanting to come and bring breakthrough into those situations, supernatural breakthrough. So if that applies to you, you can stand at the end. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I felt that maybe someone's got a heart problem in the left ventricle of the heart. So if that's you, you can stand up later. I always so feel that God wants to release jobs. I know that some people are in a really desperate situation of long-term unemployment. And I just know that the Holy Spirit is just wanting to release something fresh into that, whether it's unemployment due to ill health or unemployment due to not being able to find a job. God is wanting to set people from depression and oppression. I felt particularly for people who are being kind of like taunted in the night. You find that the night is the worst time for you. You just feel like you're under constant oppression. God is wanting to come and set you free from that this morning. People finding themselves in circumstances where there's just hope against hope. You feel like hope has gone. God is wanting to break through in those situations. People with joint problems. And just one last one. There's a verse in Song of Solomon's which says, "For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers already appeared in the land." So if you feel like that applies to you, that you've been in a really terrible dark winter season and you want to take hold of the winter is gone, the flowers are growing, I just want to ask you to stand right now. If any of those things that I have said apply to you, please feel free to stand. And the rest of us are the prayer ministry team. So I just want to encourage you to go and find somebody who's standing. Go and pray for them. If they don't want to share specifically what it is, that's fine. But let's just go and let's start prophesying life into those situations. Let's start believing that heaven is near. Heaven has arrived in those situations. Let's just stand together. So maybe if you haven't got someone praying for you and you're looking for prayer, if you just want to wave so we can differentiate.